Legato, written by Onyx Twilight, read by Kaylin Wrights. Harry Potter woke with a gasp, immediately reaching for his wand. He shoved his glasses on, biting back a cry of pain as he nearly stabbed himself in the eye. As his vision tried to adjust in the darkness, his mind raced with several awful scenarios, where he was either once again in Malfoy Manor, trapped in that small, cramped cell, or out in the Forbidden Forest, his death mere minutes away. He was shaking, his breaths coming out in harsh gasps. He was pretty sure a panic attack was coming, but he didn't know how to prevent it. Sure, it wasn't his first attack, though he normally had Ron and Hermione to help him through them. Now, though, he was alone. Alone to deal with the effects of what he now knew to be a nightmare. Despite trying to tell himself that, though, it didn't help to calm him down. What had Hermione said about what to do during a panic attack? He couldn't make his brain work. The only thing it was good for right now was to replay every horrifying thing that Harry had lived through for the past 7 years. Sirius falling through the veil, every encounter with Voldemort at the end of almost every school year, Dumbledore falling from the astronomy tower, surrounded by green light, and of course, the final battle. Spells flying through the air, both enemy and allies being lost, Harry coming back from death, and worst of all, at least for him, Snape's last moments in the Shrieking Shack, blood and memories pouring from his wounds.
No!
The word came out in a strangled voice as he tried to force back the memories. He didn't want to fall apart. Not again. He had done too much of that over the past few months. He thought he should be starting to heal from it all, but it sure didn't feel that way. He supposed that not blasting the curtains off his bed again was progress. With a sigh, Harry quickly got out of bed, not wanting to wake any of his dorm mates up. He needed to go for a walk. There was no way he'd be getting back to sleep anytime soon. He just hoped that walking through the castle wouldn't trigger any other memories of the battle. The last thing he needed was to be found in the middle of a flashback, especially because he tended to start casting defensive spells at whoever was closest. No doubt he'd be labeled as dangerous, the next Dark Lord. After all, the Daily Prophet was already hinting that he was going insane. Reaching into his trunk, Harry pulled out his cloak, draping it over his shoulders. This was the first time he'd brought it out since that night, and Harry wasn't sure how to feel. His cloak was one of the Deathly Hallows. It honestly didn't mean much to Harry, besides the fact that his father had been in the possession of such a well-known and slightly dangerous artifact. The thing was, if anyone else were to find out, Harry could only imagine what they'd say about it. Once again, he'd be seen as a mini Tom Riddle, even if he had no desire to do anything more than take a walk in peace. Harry thought back to something Snape had said to him in passing during the summer before his 5th year. He'd been sitting in a corner of the Black Library, trying to finish the last of his summer homework. It had been one of the few quiet moments he could get to himself, and he figured he should take advantage of it. As much as he loved his best friends, he knew the chance of him getting work done around them was very slim. Ron would complain about having to do work, while Hermione would try to check his work to see if he was doing it right. If Harry knew one thing about himself, it was that he would probably listen more to Ron if they were all together. Harry hadn't noticed he was no longer alone until he felt someone looming over him. Slowly, he lifted his head from his essay, flinching slightly when he met Snape's dark, piercing eyes. For a moment, neither spoke. Their gazes locked on one another, as though unsure what to think about the other. Finally, Snape sighed, breaking their little staring contest.
"Potter,"
he said, then hesitated. Harry hadn't spoken, letting Snape figure out what he needed to say. He was surprised at the lack of anger and hate in the professor's eyes. He knew it was temporary, but it was nice to see.
"Potter," Snape said again.
He reached into his robe pocket, slapping down a copy of the Daily Prophet.
They're trying to keep this from you, thinking it'll hurt your precious feelings. I, on the other hand, couldn't care less. You need to understand that fame isn't everything. The public opinion, as I'm sure you know, changes constantly. You may be loved one moment, then shunned the next. Make sure you keep those you trust close, for not everyone can be that person.
With that, Snape left, leaving Harry staring after him in surprise. Snape had, of course, been right, a fact that Harry learned the hard way after looking through that paper. He'd only cemented that during that school year, where almost the whole school thought he was a liar. Harry shook his head, trying not to get lost in memories again. It turned out Snape had been right about a lot of things, and Harry had been an idiot not to see it. All he could do now was to try to move on, to live his life to make sure Snape's sacrifices weren't for nothing. Harry took one last look at his sleeping dorm mates before quietly slipping downstairs and out of the common room. Unsurprisingly, the halls were empty. No one wanted to be out at night, afraid of what they might see. Not only was the castle not fully recovered from the battle a few months ago, but ghosts of the fallen had appeared, causing bad reactions from students and staff alike. Harry had no problem being out after dark. The ghosts brought up unpleasant memories, but he was used to it. As long as he didn't see the ghost of Tom Riddle, he was all right. Harry wasn't really thinking about where he'd go, letting his feet guide him through the halls. He had hoped the walk would relax him, but instead, his mind was a chaotic storm of thoughts and memories. Despite them winning the war, at times it didn't quite feel like a victory, no doubt due to all the people they'd lost. People always told him the pain would get better with time, but if Harry was being honest with himself, he wasn't sure he believed them. The war had been brutal, several lives being unjustly cut short. He didn't think any amount of time would be enough to get over that. Harry also felt guilty. Why did he return from the dead when so many others hadn't? What was so special about him that he not only defied death once, but twice? Harry could think of so many people who'd been lost to the war, who still deserved to be alive. His parents, Sirius, Remus, Tonks, Fred, and Snape. Merlin, Snape had gone through more than anyone. He'd suffered for his entire life, and he died in the worst way possible. It didn't matter that it was for the greater good. He had still been murdered by Voldemort's awful snake, being viewed as the bad guy until the end. Several times, Harry had wanted to forget his previous insistence to keep the remaining Hallows hidden. He wanted to go back into the Forbidden Forest and find the ring once again, to turn it and see the faces of those he so desperately missed. But as much as he wanted to, he knew he couldn't do it. He had hidden the wand and the ring for good reasons, his temptation being one of them. He had to remember that they were all dead, and there was nothing he could do about it. When Harry finally came to a stop, he found himself in a part of the castle he wasn't familiar with. The only thing he knew was that he was somewhere on the fourth floor. That didn't really help him, though. Harry didn't often explore the castle much, choosing instead to take the familiar route that he'd used for 6 years. Harry wasn't sure he'd gotten there. This wasn't the first time he'd gone for a walk at night, though normally he'd always end up back at Gryffindor Tower. He wasn't sure why this time was different, and he wasn't sure he liked it. Not knowing what else to do, Harry sat down on a nearby window ledge and stared out at the castle grounds. It was a full moon out, and everything was bathed in a silver glow. Surprisingly, Harry found the scene peaceful, erasing for the moment his worry of being lost. He supposed it wasn't that surprising, since Harry often sought out the comfort of the night when things became too much to handle. He wasn't sure what it was, but there was just something about this time that calmed him. Perhaps it was that it was one of the only times he wasn't being practically harassed by his classmates, or more recently by the entire wizarding community. Harry had honestly lost count of the amount of fan mail he'd received since the final battle. All he knew was that they had made a rather impressive bonfire. Harry didn't realize he'd been drifting off to sleep until he was abruptly woken by a piano. He blinked, thinking at first he'd started to hear things, but as he listened more closely, there was no mistaking the sound of someone playing the grand piano. Harry didn't even know Hogwarts had a grand piano, so of course he became curious. He wanted to follow the music, to find out who was playing such a melancholic song. Harry was having no luck. He'd done his best to follow the song, but every time he thought he was close, he only came across a wall. It was as though it was coming from the walls themselves, something that probably shouldn't surprise him as much as it did. Though part of him wanted to continue searching, he had grown tired, choosing instead to slide down the nearest wall and just listen to the person play. The first thing that came to his mind when he first paid attention to the song was sadness. Everything from the tempo to the melody radiated melancholy. As he listened, memories began replaying themselves in his mind. Walking through the castle halls at night, looking at his family through that cursed mirror, encountering the dead unicorn in the Forbidden Forest, and finally, the end of his first potions lesson, when he realized he'd never be able to get past Snape's hatred. Harry blinked a few times, trying to make the sudden burning in his eyes stop. The pianist clearly affected him more than he thought. Slowly getting to his feet, Harry gently laid his hand on the wall. "I'll find you," he whispered, hoping the person could hear him. "I promise I'll try to help you." He stood there for another minute before slowly making his way back to the tower. Lost in his thoughts, he didn't even notice that the music had abruptly stopped, as though shocked by his words. Legato. Written by Onyx Twilight. Read by Kaylin Wrights. Chapter 2. The next morning at breakfast, Harry stared down at his plate of food, not being able to bring himself to eat. His mind was on the night before, and on the mysterious piano player. He wasn't sure why, but he wanted to find out just who it was. Maybe it was the melancholic song they played, or the fact that he hadn't been able to find them, no matter how hard he looked. It could also be because Harry knew there was no more Voldemort, which meant no end-of-year adventure, and so he was going to make his own. Harry had to laugh at himself. Was he really that desperate to be doing something other than school that he'd try to find a random stranger who plays the piano in the middle of the night? Apparently, the answer was yes, because that was all he could think about.
"Harry, is everything all right? You seem bothered by something."
Harry jumped slightly, forgetting that he was in the Great Hall, and supposed to be having a conversation with Ron and Hermione about something he couldn't remember. Knowing he was a terrible liar, Harry didn't even bother to pretend that he'd been paying attention, instead pushing more of his food around.
"I'm fine, Hermione. Just got a lot on my mind today. Didn't sleep much, either."
His friend frowned, and Harry could already hear the lecture he'd get about going to the hospital wing. It wouldn't be the first time. It seemed as though ever since they became friends, Harry had to continuously fend off her demands to go to the hospital at least once a year. Of course, he knew she meant well, but there was only so many times he could say he was fine before it got tiring.
"No, Hermione, I don't need to be checked by Madame Pomfrey. I'm fine. I just need more sleep. That's all it is, I promise."
Before Hermione could say something that would make Harry lose it, Ron, who was oblivious to most serious topics, looked up from his food and said,
"So, mate,
You want to go flying after classes are over?
That had caused Hermione's attention to switch to Ron, scolding him on how he needed to use his time more productively, which meant Harry was left alone once again to think about the mysterious pianist. Where could the music be coming from? Was there a room he didn't know about? He was sure he'd explored every room in the castle with the help of the map, though perhaps not even his father knew about it. If so, he was on his own to find it. For a moment, he considered asking Hermione if Hogwarts had any ancient rooms that only opened for special occasions or something. He was sure she would know about it, especially since she read Hogwarts a History. He opened his mouth slightly, the question at the tip of his tongue, but he stopped himself. He wasn't sure why, but he didn't want anyone else to know about his little mission. It just felt private for some reason. Perhaps, when he found out who it was, he'd let his friends in on it. But not now. Not when he was still so unsure. If someone were to ask Harry about the rest of the school day, he wouldn't have an answer. His mind had been far from charms, potions, and any other classes he'd had. Instead, his mind was always on the night before. He was sure he'd been close to finding out where the piano player was. He just had to find out how to get on the other side of that wall. Of course, if it was a magical entrance, things would be a lot harder. He wasn't about to give up, though. Not until the mystery was solved. Once he was alone in the dorm, Harry pulled out the map, unfolding it across his lap. He had already checked, but maybe he had missed something. Maybe he'd find some sort of clue that would lead him to wherever the person was. Either way, it was worth a shot to take another look, right? "I solemnly swear I am up to no good," he whispered, and he watched as all the too familiar lines of text appeared. Harry began carefully looking through the map, studying every hallway, hoping to see something he wasn't familiar with. A door, a random statue or painting, literally anything that could help him. But nothing. Everything was exactly as he remembered from the night before. He hadn't been dragged down by exhaustion, causing him to miss something after all. "Fuck!" he yelled, thankful for the silencing charm he'd put up. No one would have to witness him completely losing his mind, which, now that he thought about it, could explain why he couldn't find the place. Did it even exist? Was it just his mind making stuff up, finally breaking after 7 years of trauma? It was definitely a good thing he didn't tell Ron and Hermione. They would be even more insistent about visiting the hospital wing. With a disappointed sigh, Harry jabbed his wand at the map, practically spitting out, "Mischief managed." He didn't even bother putting it away, merely tossing it across his bed before laying down. He knew he should be begging Hermione for her notes, but he wasn't in the mood, still angry that his search came to an end. Maybe he'd feel better in the morning. At least slightly less disappointed. With one last look at the map that failed him, Harry drifted off into a fitful sleep. When Harry opened his eyes, he could immediately tell he was dreaming. He wasn't sure how he knew, since he was still pretty much aware of his surroundings. He was walking through the halls of Hogwarts, a path of moonlight guiding his way. He was holding the map in front of him, clearly following something. He wasn't sure what at first, but it didn't take long to figure it out. That same haunting piano that had plagued his mind for the past day seemed to be pulling him forward, as though finally ready to be discovered. Each step he took resonated with the music, and the corridors of Hogwarts seemed to stretch and twist in ways he had never seen before. The map appeared to be glowing softly in his hands, indicating his own footprints alongside the mysterious notes that danced across the parchment. The castle seemed both familiar and completely foreign at the same time. It was like every place he walked through was transformed by the dreamscape he was in. That, or whenever he passed something, the music changed, going from soft and gentle at the library to angry and sad when he passed a window looking out at the castle grounds. It was like Harry was seeing the castle through the memories of the pianist. Though it was just music, Harry wanted to know more. He wanted to hear the stories behind each song they played. It only made Dream Harry's determination to find them grow stronger. With every turn, the music grew louder, wrapping around him like a cocoon of sound. Harry felt his heart race with a mixture of anticipation and uncertainty. He wanted to know who was playing the piano, to uncover the source of the enchanting melody that had become his obsession. Finally, he reached a towering set of doors that seemed to materialize out of the darkness. The music had now reached a crescendo, and Harry's hand covered the door handle, his breath caught in his throat. He pushed the doors open slowly, and as they creaked open, the music spilled into the hall, filling it with its haunting beauty. Harry stepped inside, his eyes widening in awe. The room was vast and filled with moonlight, casting an ethereal glow on the figure seated at a glossy mahogany grand piano. The person playing was hidden in the shadows, their fingers dancing gracefully across the keys, conjuring the melancholic melody that had echoed in Harry's mind from the night before. He took a step forward, his heart pounding as he yearned to see the face of the pianist. But just as he was about to catch a glimpse, the dream started to waver. The music faltered, the room flickered, and Harry felt himself being pulled away from the scene. "No, wait," he called out, reaching out his hand as if to grasp the fading image, but it slipped through his fingers like mist, and all he could hear were the echoes of the piano's final notes. That, and a voice softly whispering, calling out to him. When Harry woke, he was left with a deep sense of longing and frustration. The dream had been so close to showing him what he wanted to know, yet he had been denied the answer. The haunting melody still lingered in his mind, and he was more determined to uncover what was going on. Not only that, but Harry had another reason for finding whoever was playing. It had been the voice. Though it was quiet, there was no mistaking who it belonged to. If anything, the identity of the voice only proved he had lost his mind. But he didn't care. He was going to look one last time. There was no way in hell that voice had belonged to Severus Snape.
Legato. Written by Onyx Twilight. Read by Kaylin Wrights. Chapter 3. If someone were to ask Harry what exactly his relationship with Severus Snape was, he wouldn't be able to give a single answer. Instead, he'd ask, "Depends on what time you're talking about." His feelings towards the potion master were complicated, changing constantly throughout the time he knew the man. During his first few years at Hogwarts, Harry would have said that he and Snape shared a deep dislike for one another, though Harry wouldn't be able to give a reasonable answer as to why, except for, "He was a prat to me. What other reason do I need?" He'd then list all the petty things Snape had done to him and his house, and feel perfectly justified in his reasoning. During his third, fourth, and part of his fifth year, Harry had been pretty sure Snape hated him. He would have said that it started with Sirius Black, only continuing with the tournament, and of course the whole thing with Voldemort being back. Harry had, of course, not known about the whole Snape being a spy thing, but he figured the potions master didn't need a reason to hate him, other than resurrecting the Dark Lord. He was pretty sure he wasn't alone in hating him for that. Sixth and seventh years were... Harry didn't have any words to describe how he'd felt. After watching him kill Dumbledore, he had wanted to hurt Snape, almost as much as he had wanted to hurt Bellatrix. Slowly, though, his feelings had once again changed. He had had a lot of time to think while on the run, and Harry had hoped there had been another reason Snape had done what he did. His friends, of course, wouldn't listen, but Harry didn't care, continuing to hold on to that hope until it had been confirmed by the memories.
Merlin, the memories. That time was the worst of all. He knew he never hated Snape, even after he killed his favorite professor. Because of that, it had physically hurt to watch the life leave his eyes, his usual stoic persona nowhere to be seen in his final moments. Now, as Harry made his way through the dark corridors, another layer was added to the complicated mess that was his relationship with Snape. The memories he'd seen, as well as all the little things he'd done to protect him for the past 7 years, made him long for the chance to talk to Snape. The real Snape, not the one behind the mask of a spy. He knew he was probably insane for hoping he somehow survived, especially since he'd watched him die. But he just couldn't help it. If there was a chance Snape was still alive, he wanted to see him. He had no idea what he would do when... if he saw him, but he figured he'd know when the time came. After a few minutes of walking, Harry came to a stop near the area where he had first heard the piano, hoping that he'd hear it again. If he did, it meant Harry wasn't losing his mind after all. That, and his hunch that Snape was okay, would be correct. He stood there in the darkness, straining his ears for any hint of the haunting melody. The castle around him was still and quiet, the only sound being the distant rustle of the wind against the stone walls, and his breathing, which sounded way too loud in the silence. He felt a sense of anticipation, tinged with doubt about whether the music would appear once again. Minutes stretched into what felt like an eternity, but just as Harry's hope was beginning to fade, he heard it, a faint, distant echo of a gentle melody. It was different from the previous ones, a little sadder, but still hauntingly beautiful. The first few notes were soft and elusive, like a whisper carried by the wind. His heart leaped in his chest, and he took a small step forward, starting to follow the music that seemed to guide him. He made sure to pull out the map, wanting to memorize the route for the next time he decided to go wherever the music was leading him. Looking down, Harry nearly froze at the sight of the glowing piano notes, notes that were very much like the ones in his dream. Harry could feel his hope grow stronger upon seeing those notes. He wasn't crazy after all. The place really did exist. He picked up the pace slightly, suddenly in a hurry to reach the music. He was so close, the music getting louder, both in volume and in power, as he practically sprinted through the halls. Harry remembered the same happening in his dream, and he couldn't stop the giant grin from spreading across his face, even if he wanted to. As Harry got closer to the music, however, he couldn't stop his mind from becoming a whirlwind of emotions and thoughts. Could it really be possible Snape had survived somehow? Was he really the one playing the piano? Or had that just been his mind coming up with what he wanted to see? That particular question kept replaying itself in his mind, but he tried to push it aside, not wanting to think about the disappointment he knew he'd feel if that were the case. Finally, Harry came to a set of double doors he was sure he'd never seen before. The doors towered above him, partly hidden in shadow. Just like in the dream, the music had reached a crescendo, and just as it reached the peak, Harry pushed open the doors, stepping into the room beyond. For a moment, Harry couldn't breathe, too entranced by the scene in front of him. The room was bathed in moonlight, the same exact piano from his dream standing proudly in the center. And seated there, fingers dancing gracefully across the keys, was the figure he had yearned to find, Severus Snape. Harry's heart raced, and he could only stand there, his gaze fixed on his former professor, the one who should be dead. Sitting in front of the piano, however, Harry doubted he'd ever looked more alive. His fingers glided effortlessly across the keys, his body relaxed, a small smile pulling at his lips as he was clearly lost in the melody he created. Harry didn't know his snarky potions professor was even capable of smiling. He opened his mouth, wanting to call out to him, but something held him back. He felt like an intruder in this moment, as if the music and Snape's connection to it were something deeply personal. Sure, he was used to getting into people's personal matters, but somehow, this was different. He didn't want to ruin this moment by announcing his presence, sure that it would also ruin Snape's peaceful state. Not only did the man deserve to be relaxed for once, but he wasn't sure he could take it if Snape immediately started hating him again, especially after everything he had learned about him. So he kept quiet, simply listening to him play. As the last notes of the melody lingered in the air, Snape's fingers stilled, and he turned his head slightly, as if sensing Harry standing there. Harry wouldn't be surprised if he'd sensed him before this moment. No doubt he'd known he'd been there from the start. He was talented like that. Their eyes met, and for a brief moment, time seemed to stand still. In Snape's gaze, Harry saw a depth of emotion he'd never seen before, a mixture of surprise, curiosity, and something more, though Harry couldn't make out what it was. The one thing he did understand was that Snape wasn't glaring at him, wasn't spitting out one of his famous insults. Instead, he said,
"Potter, I trust you found great enjoyment in that utterly impromptu performance. For your sake, I pray that news of this remains hidden from the rest of the student body."
Thinking back on it sometime later, Harry decided it was the lack of disdain on Snape's face and in his tone that caused him to do what he did next. There was no way he would have been able to get enough courage to do it otherwise. Even much later, Harry still found it a serious miracle that he hadn't been turned into potion ingredients afterward. Before Snape could react, Harry had launched himself across the room, throwing himself into the shocked man's arms. He pressed his head against Snape's shoulder, the black robes beneath getting soaked with tears. He held on to him as tight as he could, unable to take it if he disappeared like in the dream, or worse, suddenly dropped dead for the second time.
"Mr. Potter, if word of this spreads to the rest of the student body, I will make sure you have detention until you graduate."
Harry was sure Snape had meant the statement to be threatening, but all it did was make Harry start laughing, tears continuing to run down his face. "You can't ground me, Professor. You're supposed to be dead." Harry could feel Snape tense, and he was pushed away slightly, Snape's dark eyes seeming to stare into his soul.
"What do you mean I should be dead? Have you completely lost your mind, Potter?"
Harry frowned, not sure how to answer. "Well, I mean, you pretty much bled to death, sir. I saw you. Surely someone wouldn't be able to survive Nagini's bite." As Harry spoke, Snape's face slowly drained of color, and he raised his hand up to his neck, where Harry noticed a bunch of scars for the first time.
"If what you say is the truth, then why don't I remember this happening? Why is my mind completely blank? Surely me bleeding to death wouldn't be so forgettable."
"Wait," Harry said, taking a seat beside Snape on the piano bench. "If you don't remember your death, does that mean you also forgot about the final battle?"
"Final battle?"
Harry's eyes got wide. "The Battle of Hogwarts, the one where Voldemort was finally defeated. Though I suppose you wouldn't know about that, since he was supposedly killed before him." Suddenly, Harry was grabbed by the shoulders, Snape's eyes boring into his own.
"The Dark Lord is gone. Potter, this better not be some kind of cruel joke you and your friends have decided to play on me."
Harry was glaring now, completely offended that Snape thought so low of him as to be joking about the war. He stood and walked towards the door. Before he left, he turned back to face Snape. "I don't know what happened to you, Professor. I really don't. But as much as I want to help you figure it out, I can't let you think I'd do something like joke about the battle, especially after all the people we lost. I'll let you think on it, all right? I'll be back tomorrow night." Not waiting for an answer, Harry left, gently closing the door behind him. As he made the trip back to his tower, he couldn't help but be a little disappointed. It hadn't been the meeting he'd wanted, not completely. He could only hope Snape would believe him when he returned. There had clearly been something really wrong with his memory, and Harry wanted to help. He just couldn't do it if Snape still hated him. He sighed, remembering something Percy had said to him after his third year.
There's never a dull moment with you, Potter.
He couldn't help but laugh. Percy had no idea.